Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and Friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends. Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hey, what's up? This is Craig David, and I'm right here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
Hi, I'm Eddie Grant, and you're listening to Sheffield Live 93.2 FM.
1212, how's it going? This is Shlomo. You're listening to Sheffield Live.
Sheffield Live. Yeah. A little technical itch, you could say. That's what you get with the live shows. But we are here. When I say we, in fact, I'm going to let these man them introduce themselves, because security had to be called. You know, some people said they had, you know, 6 o'clock, them pan radio, and they said, nah, you know, so, you know. Introduce yourself, people, on a show up now.
Yes, G's back in the house. A past truth is there. Wagwan, everybody, you know, good? You know, miss me? Me no one miss me, man. Chum, listen, but we die again.
Listen, radio station start, because we're back. Demand them TV a report to the station.
Go on, no, over to you. Over to you now, sweets. Go on with yourself.
Yeah, G and CV are here. Welcome to Sweet Talking Sport, straight to the show. Chat show that deals with the stories with both interviews and join an audience that fit today's modern day society, devoted entirely to discussion and sporting events. Whether local, whether national, a good-to-go on-air style expansive debate and analysed by us three people this evening. Or you get your regular programming, Yorkshire's best talking radio sports show you'll ever hear. You can listen to Sweet Talking Sport Live every Friday, 6 till 7. Don't be late for the date. Yeah. So without further ado, I hope nobody's listening, but if you are, please keep the frequency to yourself. You know, don't send me never tell you about it. Gonna get straight into it. We're gonna deal with UFC. I don't know if your guys can remember when I kind of had a discussion about this, and it was a guy who got his eye juck out. Not literally juck out, but he got an eye poke in the UFC.
I remember.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like, he's back on the gravy. Garth G, I think that's how you pronounce his name anyway. Life-changing surgery that enabled him to see. I mean, he wasn't completely blind, you know what I mean? But a deliberate eye poke twice, I think that happened within, say, 20 seconds of, I think it was the third round. I think the guy actually continued to fight up until about the fifth, and then he had to call it a day, obviously. Through his kind of like injury. So Justin now, short-sighted, just in one eye, long-sighted in the other eye, which is severely affected by the depth perception for the first hour of his career. He also recalls the life-changing surgery he had in 2016, which enabled him to see, you know, not 100%. I think we'd all like 20/20. But I think in one eye it was 20/60, and the other eye was 20/200, or you know, something like that. So, you know, after going through all that, it's kind of like ready now. This is what he's got to say.
Getting my nose fixed and being able to taste my food again, or being able to see everything. 2016, I got PRK surgery. That's why I'm so good at fighting on the inside, because I always had to touch them to know where they were at. As soon as the fight would start, I would try to get into their chest. If I would close this eye, they'd go 5 feet away. I'd close this eye, they'd be right in my face. And so that was the biggest thing to overcome.
So you were 16-0 when you got the surgery. But did you always plan to get the surgery?
I could finally afford it after my 16th fight. I do think it helped a lot with my fighting career, but it really just helped with life. You know, I saw mice scurrying across the road when I was driving. I saw gnats hovering over the sidewalk when I was stopped in a stop sign. So I really understood how much I had been missing. That was awesome, but it was also awesome when I got my nose fixed. I'm not sure which one was better. Getting my nose fixed and being able to taste my food again, or being able to see everything. So those were some rough years. Couldn't see or taste or smell.
Yeah, so he's kind of, well, severely beaten up, you could say.
Mm.
You know, literally, you know, having his eye poked and stuff a couple of times. I mean, it was a big kind of like thing, really, because people would say that the guy should have got disqualified for the guy who poked him. But that wasn't the case, you know. So there was a bit of kind of beef between parties, and the guy's dad kind of like had to step in and spoke a lot on behalf of Garth, his son. I mean, you know, pro American fighter, mixed martial arts specialist in the lightweight division, you know, before pre-surgery, visibility, like I said, wasn't good. You know, we expect, you know, or what people would hope for or wish for is 20/20 vision. But like I said before, in one eye it was 20/60, and the other one was 20/200 in the other eye. Basically, near and far-sighted. Justin would often have, you know, a tear up, and he wouldn't put his contact lenses in. Jokingly, you know, he'd said to the ref that I can't see my opponent, and that, you know. So I don't know if your guys have seen any of his fights on the tube.
No, I've not seen none of them.
He's kind of like quite active with it in there, you know.
Now, so I to be fair, I don't really watch UFC as much. No, not really. So I can't really give a judgment on him.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, it can get really kind of like full on, you know. And he was Justin was a big talent, you know.
Is he not doing it now? Is he done?
Yeah,
now? He's finished.
He's gone back for some more.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah,
that's
definitely.
What we're saying. Is either surgery done and he's going back in there. No fix, everything, and he's gone straight back in at it. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
See it there.
You would have thought after you've gone through all that,
really?
Yeah, I agree. And you've lost your taste, your nose broke up, and your man damaged you like that, you'd think twice about it. But if that's what you really know and you love, you're going to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, but
you want to sue my man for that door still, I would have thought. You know what I mean? That's an illegal move, isn't it?
It is, yeah. You had your coat, man, eye.
Yeah, that, and he's done it twice. If they know they've done it for fat, even if you swim club.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah. Who are this, Justin? You're getting a bit.
We know the tune, but you start going with the discotheque self.
Listen, from time I deal with it, you know. Yes, I am. I saw them said to Justin, you know. Too blind to see what he was doing.
Man sticking a Michael, isn't he?
Yeah, but he can prove them wrong now. And he can do a thing out there, so go on.
Okay.
So you're going to discotheque now?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, this is a different style, Sweet Talking Sport. You know what I mean? You know? We give it to you direct and cover what other kind of sports shows don't even bother with it. So, yeah, Justin's on it. Back on the gravy. And sticking with...
good luck to him still. Good luck to him still. You know? Let him go on with himself. Yeah.
Sticking with UFC, I want to talk about another guy.
What's up, people? Hugging the body, yeah. And these are 5 moments that shape me. Got a proper bonehead there, proper skinhead. Still look like an absolute baby. Teenage Paddy the Baddy was reckless. He did whatever he wanted to do. He didn't listen to anyone else. No one else knew better than him. Don't know where I'd be right now if I weren't fighting. Probably end up in jail. I either would have been that or probably would have been with me other mate who I'm closer to on site. You know what I mean? Being a roofer or a tarmacher or a joiner, so a bricklayer. You know what I mean? I'm not built for that, me. I started on the 20th of January 2010. I come to Next Gen, started training, fell in love with it right away, or said straight away, I'm going to be a UFC world champion. I remember getting it proper put on me in here one time when I was a kid by a woman called Millie. When I was 15, she spin and backfisted me and the chops and all that.
Okay, do you ever find it then?
My coach calls me Paddy the Baddy.
So what do you know about your opponent?
As you can see, no media training, no nothing like that. Just started talking. Didn't even know much about my opponent. I just knew he was a wrestler and I was going to submit him. And that's exactly what I did. Submit him in the first round.
This is across the jaw right now. That's but Scott does look as though he's panicking. And he's tapped out. Yeah.
You know, he looks like just a young kid, but he has got some real skills.
You don't fancy the short hair again now, though, looking back on that?
No. Laura said she'd divorce me if I got short hair again. No way I'm doing that ever again, lad. I couldn't do it. Obviously, when you lose at the time, it's disgusting. It's even worse for me looking back now because the first fight I lost, I was only 18 and fought someone a lot older than me, and he only caught me in the submission because he grabbed the cage. The two losses that I've got in title fights, both of them I went into. One I went in sick, one I went in injured, and both of the opponents were on steroids. So, like, I could be 26-0, really, if I weren't fighting cheating. The Soren Bach one was harder to come back from because I had him in a fully cinched up being able to choke in the first round, but because I went into the fight injured, my wrist was still broke. I couldn't get the proper squeeze on it. Like, I should have finished that fight. Should have won that fight. It's the way it is, and it shaped me. It made me who I am. Without them, I probably wouldn't be in this position that I'm in now. Got a phone call, like, 36 hours before my fight. One of the lads from my eyes, Ricky, had killed himself. Was in shock at first. You know what I mean? He was always dead happy, and then obviously I still had to get on the scales and weigh in like 6 hours later, and then fought the next day, and it just all come out after it. You know what I mean?
There's a stigma in this world that men can't talk. If you're a man and you've got weight on your shoulders, please speak to someone. Speak to anyone.
Still happening now, lads. You know, Scott and Maggie, two people who I know. Maggie come to watch me fight in Miami, and he's not here anymore. Neither Scott. So what I said hasn't made that much of a difference, because even people that I know personally are still killing themselves.
There are people that message 100%.
Yeah, there's a lot of people what said after it, like, that saved my life, and that means more than any world title ever will. People are still here because of what I said, but as I say, it's still. Still men killing themselves. I always say speak to someone, a problem shares a problem halved. Speaking to anyone who's close to you will help. But then if you need extra help like I did, you go to therapy. You'd have to practice what you preach, you know what I mean? You'd have to do the things that you say to do, or you're a liar. And I do, I speak to people when stuff gets a bit too much years ago I never used to. But obviously now it's a lot different. Just being a dad in general is amazing, lad. Just watching me.
Yeah.
Piblet. 5 moments where you were talking about how kind of like fighting's kind of like changed his persona and changed who he is, really. And, you know, talking about some kind of close people who also took their own lives. And he's saying, basically, if you're a man and you need to talk up or see somebody, you know, because mental health, I think we've covered little bits of mental health from time to time on this show. And just echoing what Piblet's saying, that, you know, it's good to talk if you're suffering any kind of distress or despair. You know, gotta help and support Action Line. You know, or there's different kind of like places where you can look for support. You know, whether it's therapy. You know, it's good to, you know, to try to be rational or maintain a kind of balance, really. And some people struggle to do that on a day-to-day basis. Some people obviously will need, you know, sections. Some people you can manage in the community. Some people kind of isolate themselves from one reason to another. But I think it comes from, you know, you have to go back to the fundamentals and look at how humans are designed, you know, for social connection, you know, and we thrive in groups. It's part of our development and well-being, you know. And like I said, sometimes people do isolate themselves for one reason or another, and they can fulfill themselves, but you know, it could have a negative input in the long run. But you know, there's evidence in time. Or over time, it depends which way you look at it, like evolution, history and social bonds, it's good to remain in groups and it's good to talk.
I mean, you know, I mean, your guys, I think we've all probably come across people who have suffered from one way to another way. Do you know what I mean? And what's the message that you give people out there?
I've said it all along. If you've got problems, right, there's no point like trying to fool a team. If you've got good people around you, right, you need to share them problems and talk it out. Because the other man, he might be going through it as well. So he can say, well, yeah, this and that and whatever. So for me, yeah, it's always good to talk. But like you said, the problem is the males, them have this stigma in it that, oh, I can't say this, I can't do that, or whatever. But nah, if you've got a problem, chat it out. And like I said, and especially if you've got a good support mechanism around you, like good brethren and that, yeah, you have to share it. One.
Yeah, I'll second that one. You see, the thing is, right, remember, in our generation and generations before, when it come to men, we were brought up to be men. Men were not allowed to show their emotions or shouldn't show their emotions, and a lot of us still have that in us. The thing is, like you just said, you have things on your head. If you don't talk to somebody, then problems are just going to get worse if you can't find the answer till you end up doing something stupid or whatever else. I'm one of them people, if something's bothering me, obviously, I can pick up the phone. I have people I can just pick up on phone straight away. I have my man sit down next to me. I have to pick him up, lay the problems on him, go and have some food, whatever, get it sorted. But not everybody's got that. But even sometimes I've been out and you end up talking to a stranger. Right. It's happened to me before, where strangers was telling me, starts telling me their business, and yeah, I'm sat there listening to them, and I end up telling them, talking to them, whatever else.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So you don't have to keep everything on in you. Sometimes you can just go out and sit next to somebody and you just pick up a conversation. It goes on from there. Mm. Or you could be in a pub, whatever else. But yeah, you have to get these things out of your head if it's bothering, because we all deal with it different. Some's going to just break down and whatever, others are going to go out there and maybe get violent, and some go out there and kill themselves. We don't know how we're going to act.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
True.
So keep it to yourself. Mm-mm. That's not the way forward, people. Regardless, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed.
I agree with that, because like you said, if you keep it to yourself, what happens is then you can feel yourself sinking.
Yeah.
And then when you start sink now, it's too late. Because that sinking feeling comes in, and it's too late for you to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And the trio around here all know that we've had a good person where that's happened to. So, you know, you need to talk it out.
Yeah, that's true. Just talk it out, talk it up. You know what I mean? And, you know, if you think that, you know, you need something, I mean, there's also, you know, can touch base with your GP, and GP can make referrals. It can point you in the right direction, you know. But I think first, it's like you got to be true to yourself, and you got to kind of think, you know, I can't deal with this on my own. You know what I mean? And you have to reach out, you know. And if people kind of like, you know, who are close to you see you slipping, you know, you can, you know, have a one-to-one. If you don't want to chat it up amongst the group, you can just have a one-to-one, you know. But like they say, it's good to talk.
And even like you just said there as well, you've got your friends that might see a man or a woman, whatever else, and you can see there's something wrong with them. Don't just ignore it. Put them one side and go say, yo, what's going off? You don't look right, whatever else, this, that, you know what I mean? Break the field, whatever. Because like you just said, you can either go down, if it's a thing what's just in your head that's making you angry. If you don't go and talk to the artist, well, you're going to snap one day and take that anger out on somebody, and then you got bigger problems still, so.
Yeah, well said, man.
You know what I mean?
Well said. Social groups, social networks, absolutely massive. I'm going to flip it now into cricket, and it's something that I wanted to cover at the time it happened, but obviously weeks go past, months go past, and before you know it, but I think we can still do a little bit of work on this, and it's Harry Brook admits that he didn't really behave in the right and proper way when he was in New Zealand, the white ball captain. Was a bit out of order. People say, you know, why do they call it white ball captain? Well, it's, you know, because it's limited overs. Obviously, despite the obvious, it's played with a white ball, high intensity, 2020 or T20. What people probably will know it. Played under the lights, designed to entertain and designed to finish in one day. Probably lasts probably about 3 to 3.5 hours. You have the innings, first innings, maybe lasts for 90, a break, 20 minutes max, and then the cricketers are back out there unless rain stops play. But with Harry Brook, like I said, he was out in New Zealand with England, and they did lose all of their games out there, 3-0. But Brook had an altercation with a doorman who hooked him and gave him a deliveroo. So Brook now attempted to get in a nightclub, but that didn't happen. Maybe he was drunk before that, but Brook then kind of like apologised to the cricket people then. Not direct, not there and then, but I think it was during one of their matches where Brook actually kind of like apologised to his people then. Like, 26 years of age, you know what I mean? There's probably question marks about, you know, his kind of like maturity. You know, would you play somebody back as captain after misbehaving? And he was put back as captain. I just want to get your thoughts on that, guys. You know, Harry Brook, the cricketer.
Well, I've not heard the story, but it's simple, man. It's called alcohol. When people are drinking and you get to a certain stage when you don't know when to stop, it turns you full. The other side, if you come out where you're not conducting yourself in a certain way, but when you have a responsibility as a team leader and you're out on a night, you have to remember these things, that whatever you do out there can come back and bite you. And that's what he's done. And he should have been man enough to step up straight away, especially the position he's in, and said sorry, not just to the cricket board, to his teammates, and he should have sent out an apology to the club as well. You know what I mean? Because if he's going to behave like that, how is he going to stop his teammates then from behaving like that? You know what I mean? So it's alcohol. It's always alcohol.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that, because we all know, well, I don't know because I don't drink, but I've seen it around me that a person who you've been with for a while and you know them, and all of a sudden when they start drink now, they change into a different person. You know what I mean?
I hope I know me you talk about, you know, good boy. Because you said one for a while.
No, it could be. Some people who me know, you know what I mean? So, and them change up and them start going with some silliness, you know what I mean?
And then
the silliness now, right, starts to get serious. So in this man's case, you know, he's gone to a nightclub, right? He's obviously not in a fit state. The gentleman on the door, right, has basically said to him, no, you can't come in. And my man start to perform. And him start going rude. You know when you're rude? You know what happened to you when you're rude? Your mother just and she start, innit? And that's what's happened to my man. He was rude and my man touched him, right? But like my co-pilot beside me, like him say, right, what he should have done is then rectified it by saying, do you know what? I was completely out of order.
That's right. The thing, you have to admit it to yourself.
Right, and I apologize, right, for my behavior, right, and I'll make sure that kind of something don't happen again, right? That's what he should have done. But really, whether him should I get the captaincy back, I would have said no, really.
No,
because
should I get that back?
Because really and truly, right, you're not setting the example, because how can you talk to another man when you've gone on with Jilly or something there, you know what I mean? So no.
I mean, this is what Harry has to say.
On coming out to watch us play cricket and supporting us, and to the ECB for putting them in a tricky situation, and it'll never happen again. And like I said, I'm extremely sorry.
You said you put yourself into a situation that you shouldn't have done. Why were you out drinking on that evening? And is that something that normally happens the night before a game?
No, it definitely doesn't. We just went out for some food and. Yeah, we just said let's go for a drink, and there was no intention of going out, no intention of putting ourselves in a tricky situation. It just managed to happen, and obviously if I had my time again, I definitely wouldn't do it.
I mean, first of all, there he's saying that wasn't the intention, but you know, I mean, you've got to stop from going in a nightclub, you know. That's not going out for a meal,
no,
is it, with the lads?
No, you know what I mean?
No,
look how many times we go for a meal.
There's
that's true. Look how many times we go.
You felt that you needed to tell the management about what happened.
Yeah, definitely. if I hadn't have told them and I didn't get them punishments, then the punishments would be even worse and more severe. So I'm glad that I told them. I trusted the ECB in telling them that I've made a mistake.
You tell them straight away before the game?
No, I told them mid game. I felt like I needed to reflect on it and try and come up with a plan to negate what had happened, really.
Was it resolved before you went to Australia?
We'd sorted the disciplinaries and the fines before that.
Did you think you'd be sacked?
It was definitely playing through my mind, definitely. And, like I said, thankfully I'm just playing cricket for England now, and I can concentrate on what we've got going forward. And as a captain, I know that I've made a mistake, and that's not setting the example. So me as a player and a leader now, I've got to try and take this team forward and see what we can do over the next coming weeks and months.
Did you consider resigning?
No, it never came into my mind.
What do you think about suggestions of a drinking culture in the team? Is that fair?
I don't think there's a drinking culture at all. We're all old enough and grown up enough to be able to say no if we don't want to drink, and grown up enough to be able to say yes if we do want to drink.
Do you feel you've still got authority over this team?
I think I've got a little bit of work to do to try and regain the trust of the players.
And do you understand a lot of those supporters are quite angry at what transpired, both with yourself in New Zealand and then performances in Australia?
Yeah, definitely. And they have every right to be annoyed. Like I said, I made a terrible mistake. I put myself in a situation which I shouldn't have done. Did it affect my cricket? I don't think so. I'd have still played the same way. Obviously, I didn't get a score that I'd have liked, but I'm hoping that they can expect that I'll be slightly different away from the game. I'll be more professional, and that's what I've got to do now for...
Well, it doesn't surprise me. They've been quite loose for a while, and I guess, you know, whether it's consequences with shots that have been played over the course of the last 3 years, there hasn't been one. And now, obviously, the loose nature of this environment. The Noosa trip was fine for me, but the Noosa trip on the back of now what we know, what went on in New Zealand, you have to point the finger at, you know, the leadership group of the ECB, because if they knew, and then he had this incident, and then he's played the next day as the England captain, you have to say that the highest level of management of the ECB need to look at themselves in the mirror, because they were clearly trying to brush that under the carpet because the Ashes were coming up. If they'd have dealt with it there and then, it'd have been a big story, but at least you push it out of the way. For it now to have broken on the back of losing 4-1 in Australia, on the back of what happened in Noosa, on the looseness of the players on the pitch in terms of...
Yeah, I mean, I just think that, yeah, I agree with what Vaughan was saying about trying to brush it under the carpet, really. I mean, there's no way the guy should be even in the England setup after that. Do you know what I mean? I think because they're doing so badly, that's probably the only reason why I think that they've probably got him in. And England have got a habit of doing stuff like that. You know what I mean? When players spill over, yeah, they're quick to give him a fine and stuff. That's fine. But still have him around. You know what I mean? It's not like they'll say, okay, we'll give you a 2-year ban or something like that. You know what I mean? They always have their players around, you know? I mean, it's quite a serious incident. I mean, apparently, he got fined $30,000. You know, I mean...
Decent amount of money still, isn't it?
It is a decent amount of money, but we don't know where that money's gone. Has he been fined? You know, who's got hold of it? You know, is it... Does it just go in the kitty for them? You know, to have a blow-up? December? You know what I mean? You know? You just don't know. But young guy, 26, and you know, he's obviously trying to defend himself and saying that, you know, they just went out for a meal, and then it's like, you know, let's go out for a drink, and it escalated and stuff. He's obviously got a little bit, maybe a little bit intoxicated, maybe a little bit clever with a doorman, and he's just hooked him, you know what I mean? That's what they do, you know what I mean? So, you know, but yeah.
Well, by the sounds of it, the leadership from the top is still slack, you know what I mean? Because 26 years old still, whatever, when you're in your 20s, to me, you're still kind of immature still and whatever else. You know you're going out for a meal, been in them situations, oh, shall we go and do this, shall we go and do that? You should be able to say, no, we're not going to do that. We've got a match in the morning. We need to go back to the hotel.
Whatever. Totally agree.
You understand that never happened.
Totally agree.
And he never told the people then till mid-match, whatever. They should have said, no, from him come out and tell them in the end, after the fact, they should have said, no, you have to drop. Because there is plenty of people out there that wants to get into the England team. So you've no need to defend anybody. You've no need to do whatever. You need to make these players understand this is not your right. It's a privilege to be in the team.
That's true.
You don't understand.
100%.
And you treat it that way. So if you want to go out there and mess up, go out there and mess up. Once you mess up, you're gone. Tom will take your place. If Tom mess up, Harry can come in and take your place too. There's players there. So you've no need to be doing these things then. But if you're not going to lead from the very top down, how can you expect the captain to lead?
I agree with that.
Yeah, definitely.
I agree with that. Because at the end of the day, if one of his fellow teammates now does something, you can't really say nothing to him. Because you've done something, haven't you? You've done it as well. So you can't be telling him, oh, why have you done this? Why, blah, blah. there's nothing you can say to them, right? So for me, no, he shouldn't even, really, as you quite rightly said, really, he shouldn't even be in the team.
Well, them New Zealand man, this is what they had to say. Them New Zealand man bad, you know. Come on, Harry. Yeah.
We're going down the pub.
You know that one?
Yeah, that's what
them New Zealand man said. Come on, Harry.
That's what they used to do. Yeah. You know, lads.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, them lads, that's what they used to do. Then I was back in there.
No, I don't know about them.
I think you do, pal. I think that does. Yeah. I know it a lot more than I do because I've not really played a part in that sort of thing. Like, but I know Dan knows about it. But anyway, let's carry on, pal. Let's carry on.
All right, that's good to stay then, mate. All right, though, I've been out here with a few of them lads and all and got a bit wasted, like, and jumped about, like, you know what I mean? I'm not going to lie. I was young back in the day. Like I just said about the captain there, you're 26, you're still childish, you know, where when you go out with boys, you know what I mean? And you get a bit leery. You know what I mean?
Anyway, pal,
well, that's what time away does, you know what I mean? Them kind of just switch upon me, you know what I mean? But I stay true to myself, you know?
Nah, I didn't kid. Sometimes they has to go back into the old talk, you know what I mean? Not everybody likes you know what I mean? There's got to go back into the natural stage, you know what I mean? So, anyway, that's enough for that, lad, and we'll get on with program. All right. All right.
Oh, boy. Woo! Okay, gonna flip it and dive into the championship. So United entertain the Tractor Boys.
Ooh.
Down at Bramall Lane. Tough game because this is
a tough game, yes.
Yeah, I think this is something like third v 17th. Obviously, you know, the Tractor Boys, they're third in the division and looking quite good. Very tough game. I think the least Sheffield United will expect is something out of this one, a point, but I just can't see it somehow. Ipswich kind of like riding high. So they'll be, no doubt, be keeping things nice and tight, and I think they'll expose the centre-halves, especially if it's McGuinness and me playing. No disrespect. I'll say that again, no disrespect to them two boy there, but together, can't really see it happening, really. I think Blades have been reported into looking to bring some more bodies into the building. I think Wilder, it's quoted as maybe bringing in a multiple of signings, three possible coming in quick succession. Blades fans will be saying, yes, please, sign on the dotted line, get them through the door ASAP. If United are going to, you know, just concentrate one game at a time, start moving up the table. I mean, done well when you think about it, because what, a couple of months ago, maybe looking at a kind of relegation push. So yeah, I think with a lack of bodies, definitely going to be a tough one there. But yeah, if United are lucky, a point, can't see it really. People might say, oh, what kind of fan of you, but I'm just being realistic. Do you know what I mean? Yes, of course I want them to win, but I just can't see that anyway, really. Like I said, the Tractor Boys riding high.
Add to that.
Yeah. Sheffield Wednesday got a tough one against Bristol City. And perhaps is this big Barry Bannon's last game for Sheffield Wednesday? I mean, will he be sadly missed? Is he their talisman? I mean, they say that a talisman is full of magic powers and all them kind of something there. I don't think Wednesday have had, you know, could probably say or even talk about a talisman the way that things have gone. But yeah, I mean, Bannon, what is he? 36 or something like that? Yeah, I think he's 36. Scott, fiery. And to his credit, to be honest with you, he does probably finish the remainder of the games at Hillsborough. I think he only came off the other day through cramp, and it was seen kind of like waving to all four corners of kind of Hillsborough, perhaps saying goodbye, you know what I mean?
Well, I'll just step in here. You know, I'll just go back to when you talked about Sheffield United and Ipswich. To be fair, if Sheffield United get a draw, right, that's an achievement. Because right now, Ipswich are flying at the moment. They really are flying, Ipswich. I mean, if you look at the goal tally, they're scoring a lot of goals as well, right? So I would say, yeah, they'll be lucky if they get a draw. Because I would say Ipswich is to win that game.
Oh, you're expecting Ipswich. Right. Yeah,
that's fair play. So now, going back now to... What is the team, Carl?
You know what we are talking about, man. Come through, man.
Yeah, that's right. We was talking about... Jesus, the name gone again. Anyway, right. Wednesday, that's it, Wednesday, right? So, we was talking about them and feed them talisman, you know, Barry. But me no hear say me come a lien. Me hear say me come down a lien. That's what me hear.
That must be for a spectator that. Me hear say,
the big Barry banana come down a lien. And he say me come down come kick two balls, you know. So, yeah, for me, Bristol City, and it's at Bristol City as well.
Yeah.
So I feel for them Wednesday, man. You know, because the thing is, whether it's at home or whether it's away, from the team scores, right? You know, Wednesday lose. Wednesday, they just know from the team scores. Oh, we've lost now. Because, I mean, what they're playing with? They're playing with Peter and Jim people, innit? That's what they're playing with. They don't have no big people in a for them team there. You know, like remember the little program there back in the day when you used to watch a program called Player School? You remember Player School? And I look through which window? The round window and the square window. And Humpty Dumpty, and them kind of something there, yeah. And them kind of something there, them little youth man, them I look upon them something there, them little youth man. Nah, them not, nah, man, that team, they're dead, man, it dead.
You know, I mean, I didn't realize that they've won one game all season.
Listen,
just one,
and it was
27.
I'm gonna tell you which team it was. Portsmouth. Down at Portsmouth, that's what they won. I think it was 2-0, right?
Okay.
And you know, see Portsmouth come back up here again and just rescue it and damage them up, right? Can you imagine, right? You're at home, you know. You're at home, you're a Wednesday fan. You're a fan and you're going to every home game and you know, so you're done. Ball no kick yet and you and you know, so you're done. No. And Philip Bredrin, the captain. and what makes me laugh, right? Him still a put out things for other man team. And theme team coming like Titanic. And that ship sail and sink. And it now go nowhere. And him still a... He make comments about Sheffield United. Him talk about for my team. Why? No, man. If I was him, why? I'm just locking up myself a yard and not make anybody see me.
I mean, they're yet to win a game at home. You know?
That's bad, isn't it?
It's bad.
It's worse
that
than bad.
That is bad. Bad,
you know?
Not
because,
one, even win a
because
game.
Do you know what? I mean, when I heard that ban and could be leaving and thought, eh? Because I had him down to take over that team.
Yeah, you kept saying that all
you
the
know
time.
What I mean?
Yeah.
I could see that something happening. But his wife must have just nudged him and said, yo, you have to wake up, you know? Because, like them Sepan Sweet Talking Sport, the ship sailed already.
Mm.
Come, let we fly.
It's
got
to take
mean?
A good manager to come in and take that team to bring it back in. And it's a big responsibility.
They're not getting a good manager. They might get an upcoming young boy. You know what I mean? Because good managers, they manage good teams.
That's
well.
True. I hear what
you
you're
know
saying.
What I mean?
But, you know.
That's, I remember though, whoever come in, they're coming in to manage a first division League One team that they're coming in to manage, you know.
And it was at the very bottom.
Yeah, and I keep hearing some of them Wednesday man talking, saying, well, I'm kind of glad that the points have gone and all
yeah,
them kind of thing.
Yeah, that as
right,
well, you know.
Right, and I keep hearing that.
Talk
and,
stupidness,
and,
isn't it?
And they're saying that, oh, well, you know, all the points have gone and everything, yeah. So now we're going to start afresh. They're coming in like so that they're going to bounce straight back. How did they know that?
Hey, they might even be looking at minus 15
they
in
don't
the
even,
next season.
What I'm know? Saying is they don't know that. Right, so at the end of the day, for me, right, whoever comes in and takes over that team, right, it's going to have to be a Prento, isn't it?
Do you know when it gets confirmed that them doomed, you know, I'm going to call him now, Henrik, and pull him on Yasso.
Is it?
Yeah.
And bring him on.
Yeah.
And then ask him some question about, yo.
Just grill him.
What are you saying about your team?
You know, like devil's advocate. Grill
that's
him.
Right, that's right, that's
you know?
Right.
Go on with it then. That's all like a
you
plan.
Know?
Go on with it.
Yeah.
But no, it looks bad for Wednesday.
Number,
you know what I mean?
So
it does.
Well, look, go give them
I mean,
a call.
Are they liable to get relegated now that they're right down there?
I would say that.
They're still minus 7 points.
That's right. To the nearest team.
Yeah, so even...
Minus seven before... Look where Oxford there. They have 24 points. That means they're not... They have to cut off the 7 points then first. We get to zero.
And then start again.
And then they have to
start count.
For 20... No, man. Them finish, man.
Finish. Modern day football finish.
Them finish, man. You know, like how my mother would say, them finish like Ritz. Biscuit.
So what we're saying now, the match will just pack up, knock down the stadium and build 2 halls.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Could I do that?
You could do that. Yeah, you could do that.
They could even join Sheffield FC because everything's happening up there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Millions are going in there.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Longest going team, isn't it?
You know. So, go on then. But, you know, doomed and gloom for the Owls. Yeah, Bristol City... It's got 3 points written all over it. And Wednesday's selling off players as well now. They've been told that to sell them off. That is it,
yeah.
Kadamarchi?
Yeah, but listen, we know just send one of few little youth man down there to help them out. Yeah, we've just sent down one of few youth man there.
Oh,
Mr. Eski. Yeah, we sent him down there to help them out.
He'll soon come back, you know.
Yeah, honestly, and the thing is, they're not even paying no wage. We are paying his wage. They're not doing anything. All we're doing is sending him down there to get some little experience. What kind of experience is he going to get down there?
Well, that's why they've took. That's why I think Amas is chipping, because he needs to fight for his place. And I think at Wednesday, Amas was a young guy on loan from Manchester United, left back. I believe he's showing up in the Championship, doing really well. But obviously, in Wednesday's squad, week in, week out, he's getting the shirt.
Yeah, he's getting the play.
And he needs to fight for a shirt. And I get that. I think that's a good move from Man United.
Well, that's what's...
Because it kind of, it'll make him, you know, his experience of man's football.
That's right.
You know, it's not just about, you know, being in the team week in, week out without a fight.
That's right.
You know
that's
what
right,
I mean?
Right,
so
that.
I get that.
Well, that's the reason why we send down Eski. That's why City send Eski down there, right? Send him down there, right, to get some little experience, right, against some of them, what we call your older figures. You know what I mean? Right? And from what I've heard of some people who've seen him, yeah, he shaped up well the other night. I think they played, who did they play the other night? Wednesday, they played the other night. Birmingham. They played Birmingham and they said, yeah, he was shaping up nice. He was shaping up nice, you know what I mean? Because obviously he's not going to get in our first team, right? So he's got to get... But I would have thought maybe they could have sent him out, sent him Guan Narridge. I don't know, sent him one better team than that. Because that team now do nothing, man. Nah, do nothing. Them coming like tissue paper, you know, when you blow your nose, 99 dashing where. Why? Make we move on, man. Make we move on.
Premiership, yep. So your guys have got Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Tomorrow, yeah. I'm going. I'll be there.
And what are you expecting from this game? Wolves aren't doing too great.
Listen. Right now, right, you can't say that. Because Wolves, right, at this present moment of time, have started to pick up. Yes, I'm looking at the table. The table doesn't lie. The table says that Wolves are down at the bottom with 8 points. But they started to pick up. They really have started to pick up. And I know the kind of game they're going to come with City. They're going to come to City. They're going to put the 100 man them at the back, right? Close up sharp. And then they're going to hit City on the break, which is what most teams have been doing. And they've been successful. Because if you look at the game last week, right, when we played Mickey Mouse Club, right, when we played them, we had most of the possession, right, against Manchester United, but did nothing with it. United scored 2 goals on the break. And to be truthful, it should have been more than 2 goals. They should have broke City at least 4 and 5 last week. Right? Same again in midweek just now against the team that brought in the Champions League. A team that's only just coming at the Champions League. It's the first year. They don't really know much about Champions. And we went there on Wednesday and we got touched with a 3-1. So, you know, that's why I'm saying we should beat Wolves tomorrow. But let me tell you, it's going to be a hard game, that. It's going to be a hard game.
I can't see it. I can't see it being a tough game. Do you know what I mean? I think Wolves will try to be resilient for as long as possible. Park the bus.
Stay in the game.
Set pieces. Maybe try to create something. Corners.
I think
kind of stuff. Free kicks. But, you know, other than that, I can't really see them giving much. Mm-hmm. I think it should be a foregone conclusion that it's 3 points.
I would honestly 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, I would have said to you, yeah, I totally agree with you. But where my team's playing at the moment now, nah.
I think they'll get 3. They'll get 3, I think, at least. At least 3 goals.
I'm just looking at 1 so that we can get the 3 points.
Listen, this man knowing team,
you know what I mean? And if he's saying that's how it's going to be, then...
We'll see. Because we'll look on the score... Final score, we'll check in and check out.
It's all about the score, isn't it?
The defence right now
100%
is struggling at the moment. But like I said, I hope we get the win so we can put little pressure, even though I'm saying it's rubbish still. It's little pressure from the Arsenal, them. Little pressure.
All right.
But we, like I said, we'll see. I'll be smiling if we get the win, so... Anyway,
I think you'd be smiling anyway. Like I said, foregone conclusion for me. I don't think they'll have a problem. Do you know what I mean? City used to breaking down teams the way they play.
And then Arsenal away on the Sunday to they're at home to Man United. So we'll see what happens there. Because they had a nice win against us, but then again, I know what that team's like. They'll probably end up getting touched up by Arsenal.
Hey, did anybody see the AFCON?
Senegal team. When my man went on and said, you know what, we are come off. did you see that?
What a stupid thing. You know, when I saw that, I thought, what a stupid thing to do. What message was this man thinking of? He's back to leadership again.
Yeah, 100%.
Why would you take your team off the pitch? So now they've got all this argument going off now where Morocco's on about defining this, what to do with this and all that thing. So does that mean now they're going to take back the cup from
I don't think they'll do that.
No, I can't see them doing that myself. No.
Well, I think it's gone too far for that already.
I
but
think there'll
the
be some kind of fines being dished out by.
But he needs to be gone, as far as I'm concerned, because that's not a leader. The man start Barlow, spit out Tim Dummy, and said, come on, let's go.
That's right, that's what he did. Yeah.
That's what he did.
That's exactly what he did.
I mean, all that, I mean, all right, the first free, the goal that got disallowed by Senegal with my man, what was his name, the guy that went down? The one who had the penalty after. What was his name from the Morocco team? I think he went down too easy. But the referee was right there in front of him and he called it. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. But the second one now, though, when he went down, he should not have let that player bullied him into this is the referee I'm talking about. He should not have let, what was the player called?
The Moroccan player?
Yeah. Him anyway. He should not have let that player bullied him into going to VAR because VAR didn't call it in the first place.
No,
why is he making him tell him to go and check that? And that's where the problem started from.
Because what you've done, right, you put it in at the referee brain.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And the referee's bottled it.
That's right. Mm. That's right.
He should have said, no, go stand and that's it, and left it at that. We wouldn't have had all this contention.
That's right. Was it Marley what scored?
No, it wasn't Mane.
For Senegal?
I don't think it was Mane. It was another guy that scored that
goal. For Senegal?
Yeah.
I thought it was Mane.
You could be right. But no, that game, it was a shambles at the end, man. A shambles. Not a way to win the tournament.
And what did you think about the penalty, the Panenka kind of like little crazy effort?
Well,
it was purposely done that.
Well,
do you know what I mean? 100%.
He thought the goalie was going to go to the left or right. And he's put it down. We've seen it at time where other players have done it, but there was no.
I just think
there was no power.
I just think that deliberation that I think it was done. Deliberate.
I just think it was to me. It was just justice anyway because you go down in the first place, you start ball this, that, and then you got it into your head, and you never scored. Hey,
you know what I mean?
And the man catch it on the break.
I mean,
just killed his big time as well because he was a Golden Boot winner.
Mm-hmm.
Look how we accepted the boot. Just take the boot and my ball and. Nah, man. No, it shouldn't have gone off like that.
You're right. You were right. It wasn't, man. It was somebody called Papa.
Yeah.
Papa
Googie.
Papa Googie.
Yeah, or something like that. Gee.
Yeah.
Good goal, man. Mm. And really, my man as well. I forgot the player that missed it. Literally, an open goal and he put it wide. But still, then with that, I'm personally glad Senegal won.
Can I ask the next question though? You see, I like that. You see, like the AFCON. Did you watch much of it?
Not really.
You see what I mean? Because I saw the
couple about mix up business and bringing them off the pitch. Obviously, it was all over the news as well.
Because one bit, can you remember now? They were saying that the AFCON really. It's not really an important tournament, It's a little tournament. Nobody's really interested in it.
That makes it worse. This is what I'm coming with now.
So that backs up certain people in the media.
What people are saying.
Do you know what I mean? The AFCON.
It's disjointed.
It's not. Do you know what I mean? Right? Mm. Because they're saying, I've heard somebody say, well, you wouldn't see that in the Euros. You wouldn't see that. It wouldn't have been allowed to happen.
But it'll never happen again. It'll never happen again. I don't see any African team would ever walk. That would ever happen again. That guy, the manager, he said they made a big mistake. You know what I mean? And it's all over the world. Everybody's seen it, talking about it, whatever. That will not happen again.
I don't know.
But it was bad.
I don't know. I don't know if you can say that really, because why is anything can happen in this day and age?
That, but can you really
I mean?
See another after you know? All that? I mean, look, they was ready to storm the pitch every time.
Yeah.
Do you know what? When you think deep, it probably don't really surprise me, to be honest with you, what comes out of there. You know what I mean? It just makes
it's a big deal for the country. It's a big deal for the country for them. Whatever else, you know what I mean? And. They got emotional. Emotions took over.
Yeah.
Maybe corruption in that too.
Steady.
I walk back, this is Sweet Talk is for on Friday the 23rd. So we're not all back, nothing on here. But, I'm not surprised.
or should we be surprised that that ain't got mentioned anyway already? Because, like I said, from when I saw that kind of that mock penalty, that's not no penalty.
No, that wasn't a penalty. I don't know what kind of kick that was, really.
Stupidness.
What kind of kick that was?
You know what I mean? Pure stupidness. Anyway, 1859. Hope you're being entertained. You know,
lovely to be back in the chair. So I'm ready to come out.
Yeah, you know, gonna play out.
Latest people.